Two nights ago, there was a Yid in my house from Yerushalayim. His name is Rav Cheshen. Somebody, he walked in about 11:30 at night, and he left after 2, with a whole group of guys. In the course of the evening, which I'll soon tell you a few zachen that he told me, somebody made a bracha. When that person heard Shahakurun Lihi Abadvari, or whichever bracha was, Abodim and Mizonis, he said, Omein! And he said the Omein with such a mulidika koyach. You know, usually you don't see it. People say, Mizokta Omein. You say, Omein, you know, you're a little kid, you're trying to kid, and Davzogan Omein, you have to say Omein. That is a bracha. When you say Omein, the apes is very happy when you say Omein. But I saw him say Omein. Then somebody else made a bracha. Fight, he said, Omein! With such a big, and then he said, you have to say it with the nun, Omein! You have to say, I don't know, what's going on over here? So in the course of the conversation, I asked him, Rav Cheshen, Amod Cheshen, I asked him, what's this gewaldic hisoyus you have about saying Omein? You're saying it with, he says it with the ganze guf. So he says, every time I say Omein, I feel myself steiging a little bit hecher. And every single Omein that I hear, it makes a difference, who makes the bracha? When I hear somebody says Omein, I say Omein! I feel mamish like a chagish digging. So I asked him, what's going on? What's this Omein? What are you talking about? So he tells me like this. The Teuchen Devarov is like this. When he was a little boy, he lived in Yerushalayim. And at that Kufa was mamish terrible between the Arabs and the Yidden. And they surrounded a certain shtot, the Altstadt, the old city of Yerushalayim, and you couldn't go out. And the only time where they let people go out, it was two times a week they would let one group of people go out in, and one group of people can come back in, like that. Just a little bit, a few people go in, a few people go out. Otherwise, everything was surrounded with mamish bit of doubt. They couldn't do anything. So he told me that he had a sister. His sister was 18 years old, and she was supposed to get married. Now, the chasna was supposed to be on the outside of the shtot. And after they besieged the shtot, they couldn't get out. So they put her name down, since she has to get married, her and her father and her mother, everybody's supposed to go outside, like a few days before the chasna, they should be able to get married, and, you know, the girls should be able to get married. Kids, anyway, he was a little bochril, and there was nothing to eat in the house. He told me the anis in that house, he said, when they had a piece of bread to eat, it was much like they were so happy, a piece of bread, you know, by us, now we eat chocolate and candy. He said, chocolate, he never knew the Muslim what it means, chocolate. In those days, it was mamish, the anis was absolutely terrible. The kids, was that day that his sister was supposed to go, she was 18 years old, she got dressed bakovdik like a kala, but not with a kala gown, like they get that they were knowing, because it wasn't the day of the chasna. The chasna was in 2 days. But she got dressed very, very nice, because she's going out, she's leaving the shtot, and she told all the friends that are in the shtot, everybody made like a little party, and she's going out. She's going out of the shtot to get married. Her father, everybody, his father was a murdered tzaddik, he was mechusa betalas ubetfilin until the last minute. As soon as they were told that they're allowed to go, he would take off his talis and fill him fast, wrap it up and go. Meanwhile, this little boy, Ramot Rechesh, when he was a little boy, somebody told him, come to yeshiva fast, it's late. So he walked out of his house. From the time he walked from his house until down the block, until the yeshiva where he learned, some Arabs broke through a certain area and he got to his house. What could I tell you? He told me the story. He was crying. It was half of a fella. The first thing they did was kill his father. And then they killed his sister. And he heard the whole tumble and the fighting and the shooting and was levitating. By the time they told him that it was his shtot, he came back in. He saw his father laying on the floor with the shell rosh of his father's head was in a puddle of blood. And then he sees his sister dead right in front of him. He went out of his kalim. Do you know when somebody gets killed because he's a yid, he's moisa nafshoi. He gives his nefesh away. The Rambam says that any yid, you know, the biggest thing, you know, the Beis Yosef, was, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, the Helige Beis Yosef, he learned with the Malach. You know what it means to learn with the Malach? And the Malach told the Beis Yosef, if you do this and this, you'll be zoicha for this gewaldige zach. If you do this and this, you'll be zoicha for this dove nifla. He says, if you do all the following things I tell you to do, you'll be zoicha to get killed for Kiddush Hashem. The biggest thing that could happen to a yid is when the person takes his neshama and gives it to the edge. Here, it's yours. Everything I have belongs to you. And they told the Beis Yosef that the biggest thing a person is to get killed. But yes, you know, we're afraid of it. We're afraid of death. You don't even want to talk about it. You keep away dead people. I don't want to belong to the Chavik Adish. You know, this, we keep, but the biggest thing of a Samench Kenton is to give away his neshama, is to be killed for Kavod Shemayim. You know what the Klaus Megad Rebbe said? The Klaus Megad Rebbe said, 6 million Yidden killed themselves for Kavod Shemayim. He says, I wasn't Zoicha. You know what it means? You give away your life for Kavod Shemayim? You get a slap in the face because you're Jewish? If you ever walk in the street and a guy shouts and a guy curses you because you're a Yid, you know how much chai you get? You took this yonis because you're a Yid. So this Rav Motcha Cheshen sees, he comes inside his house, and what does he see? And he sees a Yid was telling him, he tells him, Motcha, like you should know, that your father, as soon as they shot him, as soon as they were cutting him, so your father was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And your sister, while they were killing her, she was learning Kishmet, she didn't finish the whole Pasha. She was, you have to eat Hashem until... But she gave her life away for Kavod Shemayim. He said, that feeling, when he was a kid, he realized what it means to give away your lab. Of course, he cried, he became a Yosem, he lost his sister, he lost his father. Then he became a Yosem of his mother. His mom is bitter, I bitter 11. But he told me when he was a yingle, he got the feeling of what? Ani moisa nafshi, I give away my life. Then he asked me, tell me, what does Amen stand for? The Gemara Shabbos. My Amen, Chetti Gemara, my Amen, Kel Melech Nemon. That I believe that the Eibush is one, I believe that the Eibush can do everything. When somebody says, Baruch Atah Hashem Choynin Hadas, you say, Amen, if glad that the Eibush can do it, the Eibush shall give me Seichel. Chan Hamad Lesleich, Rabbi Shalom, I believe you can be Moichel me. You'll take away all my Eibush. It makes absolutely no difference what I did. But he said, there's a different Shah. Amen stands for Ani Moisir Nafshi. I give my life away. In other words, when a guy goes, a little gingala sits next to you and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Lekeinu Melech Ha'olam, Boilei Pri Ho Adama, that the Eibusha is the one that makes the things grow, that piece of potato chip that you have in your hand, you know who made that grow? That the Eibusha. So you know what Amos Cheshen thinks? Doesn't Stamzei say Amen? He clenches his fist, he says, Ani Moisir Nafshi, Amen. I'm willing to give my life for that fact. In other words, I'm willing to give away my whole Ramach, my whole Shesod, Gidden, everything I have, for that fact, to prove you to the fact that the Eibusha gives away, that the Eibusha is the one that creates everything in the world. That's what he does. So yes, and then he told me his life, what he went through. He had such a wonderful wife, such a helika person, such a isha gedoyla admi oy, the brisket of Sarah, and this Ramot Cheshen's wife, this is a hoich in Neshama. And she never was nifta young, and Ramot was left with so much solace. And then he told me one day he had a little yingler, he died, a little baby. And then finally his wife, the Eibush Avenger, she got another kid. And he was so happy, he was crying in the hospital from Simcha. And he told me this, and then a few minutes later he sees all the doctors and nurses, they're running. Kids, they tell him 2 hours later his kid died. He lost another kid. But Avo became, he told me he got the training, everything comes from Himmel. He's makabel everything. You didn't lose yourself, you have so much service in your life. You don't go crazy? He says, no, because I got trained when I was young. I'm willing to give my life away for Kavod Shemayim. No matter what anything happens, I'm willing to give it up. So yes, but how do you get that training? I see you say Amen with it. And then he was in my house the next day and he was eating with us. And my little kid made a bracha and he said, Amen with such a mighty digger, such a ani moisa nafshi, he's willing to give away his neshama. And then I see how the person strikes back with every Amen. So I said, what's the name? So how do I get a Kenyan? So he told me, I'm mighty digger yisod. He said, anything you train yourself when you're young, that's what will abide with you when you're old. If you now, he tells me, you're already elder to the mensch. He says, now when you're going to start training yourself in certain things, it's very, very hard because you're already used to, you have certain habits. People get habits to have a twitch or to have this, that. A guy writes with his left hand. He starts when he's a yingle. I'm a lefty. Why? I was a yingle. I started with the left hand. No one stopped me. Finish. That's it. I can't. It's impossible for me to write my right hand. I can't throw a ball. I couldn't do anything. I'm a lefty. 5 pounds. Why? Because I trained myself when I was young with my left hand. It's klum. I should have been a righty. Everybody should have been a righty. But the teretz is 5 pounds. I trained myself when I was young. You can't change it. He says, if you train yourself when you're young, anything you train yourself when you're young, then that blights you forever. He says, if you train yourself by Omen when you're young, in your young years, Ani moisa nafshi, I'm willing to give away my neshama for this fact, then you'll be striding with every single Omen. And he says, that's why you have to say, Ani moisa nafshi, the nun, Omen, not stop Omen, Omen. You give away mamish, you can't, and you give it with your Rama. He says, you'll be an andre mensch. Kitsa, from that I got a moide dicke schlissel. I found out a moide dicke yadir. I told you 1,000 times, and I'll tell you 1,001 times. I wish I was your age. I could start again. If I was in the beginning of high school, I would train myself for such kavaldika good habits. If I only would have had the seichel that I had now. If I would have had it when I was younger, I would know what's right to a certain extent. What's wrong, I would develop kavaldika habits. But etzem tonight, I wanted to talk about a few mitzvahs from Rav Moshe. Udo avadeng in order to say the husband befrat, you know, at this Rishchodesh Nissan Hasidim lehigoyel, when it's Zman of Geula, so, and we're supposed to spear the Gevaldika non-kate, but this is not suddenly gold. You can never tell. You can do one little pula, and you should be the one that'll trigger it off, that the Eibusha should bring Mashiach and Yoschus. And if you're not allowed to have any Admas Nefesh and any Tzar, But I do want to tell you a few little mices about Rav Moshe. Since the last time I was here was right after I spoke about Rav Yankov, and I told you then I wasn't feeling well, and I remember asking somebody a shaila if I should come, if I shouldn't come. They said I shouldn't, because if I go, tak, I'll become very sick. And tachava, but I said I'll go anyway. I said I'll go until Ad Maseis Nefesh. And I think I was so sick the last 2 weeks. Just the beginning of last week on Sunday, I heard Pasha Zocha. I was in my house for 2 weeks. I couldn't move. Pasha Zocha I heard on Sunday, and the same day I heard Pasha's Pola. I missed Kli Yisatoli for 2 weeks. But I still felt it was worth it. I had to give cover to Rav Yankov. Hagam Taka, I'm not feeling that well, but Baruch Hashem, a little bit better than I felt. So therefore, I came here tonight, and I wanted to tell you a few little mices from Rav Moshe. But what did I why did I give you this Hagdama from Rav Cheshen, Rav Moshe Cheshen, this Hedek Yidin? It's because some of these things, you boys are lucky, you're young. When you train yourself, when you're young, you can develop yourself gavalika habits. There's somebody I met today, this person has a habit, listen to this habit, it's a Santa habit. He told me, every single day of his life, he learns 1 hour in the daytime and a half hour at night, no matter what. Makes a difference. Tisha B'Av, he'll learn a medesh. Yom Kippur, he'll stay up. It makes a difference. Every single day in his life, he was a makabal himself because of a shmuz that Avshnei Kotlum said in the base medesh. Every single day, he has a habit. It's impossible, no matter what. You have to make matzahs, you have to... makes no difference. In the daytime, you have to learn L'chol HaPachas 1 hour, and at nighttime, you learn L'chol HaPachas a half hour. That's what he was makabal on himself. He developed that habit. How long does it take to stifle writing those letters? How long does it take to develop a habit? 2 weeks. That's all. 2 weeks. If you break yourself for 2 weeks, then you'll have the habit. You'll be kinded. So it's a very easy thing. Any Dover Toiv, I'm going to bleed out a list you. A Paul Kleiner Meiselach for Rav Moshe. And if you develop these things just for 2 weeks, working it, it's hard. You know, you ever see by the bed of a choyla, when they write, you know, he's getting better and then he's getting worse, better and worse. You know, you have the aliyas and you lead this, aliyas and you lead this. But alpha became, you're going in one direction. So even if it's hard, you want to develop yourself anything, a good habit, sometimes alpha became, you fall through. But breakthrough for 2 weeks here, breakthrough for 2 weeks here, gliklach. If someone was to ask you, what was the biggest mile from Rav Moshe? What was Rav Moshe Feinstein's biggest mile? So of course, I'll tell you, he's the God of Dori, no Kalatar Kula. Any difficult Charlie, I'm sure you heard all the Hespedim that they said in New York and all the Hespedim, it's beautiful takes from Rav Shach and Rav Michal Feinstein, Rav David Pervarsky, the Gedolah Hadorin Eretz Yisrael, they were all maspid, so helik and so grace. And then, of course, and there were multi the Hespedim that were said in the Lakewood Beis Medrash for Rav Tulia Goldstein and for Rav Michal Birnbaum, multi the Mashgiach, my Rebbe, Rav Nosson, multi the Hespedim that were said, they were absolutely Mishunadik, absolutely Mishunadik. And I picked up a lot of multi the Mises that they spoke about, but those mices I'm not going to tell you, because that if you want to get a hold of those tapes, you'll hear those tapes. I won't tell you different zachim. But if all those mices, if somebody would ask you, what is the biggest thing in Rav Moshe? So somebody tells you, the God La'Dori, the Kol HaTerekula, he was the Amud HaChesed, he was mafkin himself for everybody. He was a Gevaldike Mespalel, he was Mespalel. You know what, my humble opinion, my Gevaldike Regish, and what and the Kuda, how great Rav Moshe was. There's one thing Rav Moshe did, which is, I think, the greatest thing about Rav Moshe. And I'll tell you what it is. If, let's say, I would put you into the bank, and I'll tell you, because you're such a tzaddik and you learn so good, I'll give you exactly 10 minutes, and as much $100 bills as you can count, harei elu shecha. So dance. So Avadi, you'll thank me. Mr. Gleich Leifen, you're going to the bank, I'll give you a zekel. 1, 2, 3, you'll count as fast as you can. Every $100 bill belongs to you. Now, if, let's say, I would ask you, like, I have the sniffles, could you give me a tissue? You'll say, just 1 minute, I can't. Yetznish. You wouldn't give away a quarter of a second. Every single second is another $100 bill. It has to be crazy to give it away. If I were to put you in a big room, and I would tell you, here, there's a bunch of diamonds, as many diamonds as you take, you just have to take one from here and put it over there, by the window. One, at first run back. As much as you could do in exactly 3 minutes, Harayel Shachar belongs to you. And then I'll ask you, hey, can you do me a favor? Could you get me a drink of water? I'm thirsty. You say, Hezachai, it's right now, and you'll run, you wouldn't be mafki. Rav Moshe Feinstein, there's no one in the world as great as Rav Moshe that knew what it means, V'talmud Torah K'nayit Kulam. Rav Moshe knew that every single second that he says, Moshe Kivil Torah M'Sinai. You know, if you just mumble those words, Moshe, right now, Moshe Kivil Torah M'Sinai, you know what you get for that? You get, let's see if you would take, this is a Dov Nifla Moedi, Yishami says it's in Peyer. If you would put on a scale, all the schar of all the mitzvahs in the Gansa Torah, and the schar of one word of Torah, I put that on the scale, the Torah is heavier. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam is no such thing as the world is Torah, people don't know it. When I walk in the street, a lot of times I just say words. I used to memorize Mishnayos Chavos, because a guy says, you could take another $100 bill, another $100, it's because I had to memorize one Mishnah Bahar. One Mishnah Bahat, every word that you say is equal to all the mitzvahs put together. Somebody comes to the God Lador, who knows what Torah is. And Moshe goes and he stops learning. And he says, here, what do you want? You want a bracha? Good. How are you? How's this and how's that? How great is a person? A person should be such a money dick at that he should give away millions of dollar bills. Millions of million dollar bills. How do you do such as that? That's what I think such a money dick of Moshe. Moshe was so great. He knew what Torah is. He knew what everything is. And Avraham became a claim. My brother told me he brought his little kid into Rav Moshe. So what was the first thing that Moshe said? He ran around, you should hear the tape, it's hafa. Usually it's Toysis, Chveis, the Rosh, the Zvot, the Mordche, he's Varfin, Kol HaTerikul. Now he's talking about lalapapa, it's Mamshe Gelechte. Now Moshe Feinstein is giving away millions and billions of dollars to Simcha Zelikron. Half a little Yingala, what? Didn't even cut his hands. Didn't even cut his hair. It's a little Vos, a kleine Yingala. Kum der Arayim, but Moshe and Vos, took me. Yeah, Moshe gives away everything just to make the boy a little bit happy. The Mesechtes Smocha says, there's a certain Mesechtes in Bat of Avodah Zarah, it's called Mesechtes Smocha. Smocha means Simcha, but really it's not about Simcha, it's about Avedis. But we don't want to call it Mesechtes Avedis, so we call it Mesechtes Smocha. There's a brayse over there that says like this, HaGoysis HaRehu L'chai L'chol Dvorov. A goysis, do you ever see a goysis? You should never have to see one. A goysis is somebody right before he dies. The guy's going to die in about a minute. His body is quivering. I don't know if you ever saw such a thing. It's frightful. Or a guy, the second right before he dies, the neshama has to leave. The body starts quivering. His eyes pop open. It's not frightful. And then, right away, his head falls to the side. He's out. Those 3 seconds, those 5 minutes right before he dies, when the body is starting to get into a tremble because the neshama is ready to leave, he's called a goysis. What if a guy goes and takes a bullet and kills a goysis? The guy's gonna die, it's nothing to talk about. You mechuyv miso on that. Shteit nechazal ha-goysis ha-rehu l'chai l'chol dvorov. A goysis is a levedik a mensch. If you kill a goysis, you're a murderer. Check the altar for Sabbat. What do you mean a murderer? The guy's gonna die in a second. 1 second before the guy died. If you go in your place, you pull out the oxygen tank or whatever it is. Or you move the bed. You know it says that if you buy a goysis and you move his hand, you're a murderer. Because you could, by moving that guy's hand, you can make the neshama goes a second earlier. It's mamish murder. You're not allowed to touch him. When a guy's a goysis, you're not allowed to touch him. You know that? If the Ramei Shapiro, right before he was nifted, he grabbed the hold of one of his Talmidim's hands. So they say the Talmud was paralyzed from fright because he shook his hand goodbye to him. He knew he was leaving. His body was getting into it. And he grabbed hold of his hand and his body. And the Talmud knew that if he moves his hand of Kol Shehu, he will bring the Misa of his Rebbe a billionth of a second earlier. He said, and he was standing in there, and while he was holding his hand, he was paralyzed. He didn't move. And even after that, Meir Shapiro was nifter, but he never had a kri around his bed. It was kind of moedig amaisa. That Talmud was still thin. He was afraid it could be that it's not 100% death. Death is not something, it takes time to die. The neshama has to leave totally. Did you ever see, if you ever see shchita, you'll see a behema. Right away it jumps, it quivers, it shakes. You know why? Because still there's chias in it. There's still some life in it. Until it stops totally, then there's no more life. When you have a piece of meat on your table, it doesn't start quivering and shaking. But when you go into a shlachta, and you see after you cut the behemoth's throat, or I saw when a guy, you put a bullet through the brain of a behemoth, the thing quivers, and then till the whole misa happens. And you can't go, if you move the geysis, then you're a murderer, because they could affect the altar from Slobodka. Why? The guy has 3 seconds left to live, and you go, you shake his hand, or you push the bed, or you do something, you go boo, or you say something, and you scare the person, and the person dies because of, see, you mechuyev misa, chas v'sholem. Let the other supposed to go, why the guy's gonna die? She said, don't miss him. He said, the mensch could have had a hechre machshava. That goysis, while he's a goysis, you're right, he's gonna die in 3 seconds. But within those 3 seconds, the goysis could have thought, ooh, ain't oid malvadoi. He could have thought, ooh, I'm happy I'm a yid. Ooh, I have chalotah for my avedis. He could have had any machshava. And because you took away that span of time, that a yid could have had another hechre machshava, you're a murderer. So now let me ask you, and Moshe Feinstein, when he was Lebedik, when he was Frisch, somebody just showed me right before davening such moedikah pictures of Rav Moshe. Take a look at that picture. The one that, if you'll see the picture when Rav Moshe poses when he was riding Torah. The beautiful, it's a half of a fella. And that, it's like in the summer. And there's beautiful, you know, trees in the back. And it's very, very nice. He's sitting by a table. If you take a look at that picture, you see, Rav Moshe Feinstein, what did he do? He was riding, so somebody wanted to take a picture. He picked up his head and he posed. Why was Rav Moshe mafsik? He made a yid feel good. But Rav Moshe, he's giving up billions and billions of dollars. Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam. The goddess of Rav Moshe is that he gave away everything he had to make a yid happy. I remember, I'm so embarrassed now, but you can't be masking my feeling. I tell you, I would do it again anyway. But I think it's an aveda, but I couldn't hold myself back. I had the chutzpah to take my family to that Moshe for a bracha. I was going to him bittul Torah. I can't help it. What if I found? I can't help it. If I would see that Moshe, I'd go again. Rav Siegel was just in Lakeland. I won't tell you boys, Abdovid's not here. Rav Siegel's in America. He's a Balmoifis, he's a Tzaddik, he's a Kodesh, Neulevetar. You can go into Bar Park, if you want to have the address, call up Rabbi Rosenbaum, he's going to be here until Monday. There are people that I know that couldn't have children. And Rav Siegel benched them and right away they got children. I know people that Moidika with doctors gave up hope, and Rav Siegel benched them and they were mamish Nisrapa. People that were mamish bankrupt in business, Rav Siegel benched them, they were Matzliach. You have no idea. You were somebody today, I can't say who. Somebody, I made an appointment for somebody that has a brother that's never retarded. So he asked me, should he go? I told my father, Shaitana, go take. And told him, when you get Rav Siegel's hand, hold on, tell me you want to have tocha. Don't you? He says, yeah, but I can't. I told him, what do you care? You can't. Hold on. You don't know what it means when you get a bracha from a tzaddik. You don't know how important it is. He's going to be till Monday in America. Get a hold of it. I'm telling you, those that got a bracha from Amosha is gewaldic. The one that was there that Amosha called him is also gewaldic. But those that didn't, the guy that didn't get it, was hosta, yes. If you don't have, you didn't listen to me, you didn't twist Rabbi Rosenblum's arm, and you don't have a bracha from Amosha, hosta garnish. Those boys, Baruch Hashem, we went in the ninth grade, when I was a Rebbe in the ninth grade, we went down to the Amosha, Baruch Hashem, we got a bracha. Yet, can you speak in a bracha from Amosha? Five found. Baruch Hashem, there's different, there's Rav Siegel, there's Rav Shach. If anybody's making a trip to Eretz Yisrael, make your rounds, go to the Gedolim for a bracha. You don't know how much it'll help you for doilus. Achoponim, when I went out with my family, and then Amosha asked me, with such a hanover, he asked me, oh, this is your wife, he asked me, Yiddish, that's my wife. And Amosha turned to her, and he said, how do you feel, how do you feel? And my little baby was just born there. I wanted Amosha to look at the baby, bench the baby. Rav Siegel, on the way to Lakewood, you know what I did? I did a zacham. If Lakewood would find out what I did, who knows what they would do to me. I did such a, Rav Siegel, I got up early in the morning, and we wanted to get a Siegel to set a shmooze in yeshiva. The whole was patched up a pack over there in the basement. Was there Bochum came from here in Adelphia? So it took very long for him to get there. What happened? He stopped off at my house. I mean, like, I had to make sure, like, everything's okay. At first, we got mamish brachas left and right. He had to stop off anyway for something else, but I made sure it was in my house. I got with the brachas. I got with the Siegel into my house. I want them to be in the house, or to leave a brach in the house. I take away your Siegel's time. I don't know if I'm allowed to or not. But the biggest tzitzkis is that Rav Siegel, he gives away his time for a different yid. Rav Siegel, no, he doesn't walk dollar amps below Torah, below tefillah. But Avo Pekeh, he gives it away to make a different yid happy. That Moshe Feinstein, you know one of the biggest smilers? He knows what Talmud Torah is, he knows what Torah and Avod is, and Avo Pekeh, he gives it away to make a little kid happy. Oh, Adafa Malalapap, Malalapap. They once asked the Pana Vizhrov was a Riziki Ilu, and he went into a millionaire, and he asked the man, give me money for the stock, I need money for my yeshiva. So the man, you have to give him money, they can see it, gave a tremendous amount of money, so he asked the Panovich Rav, I give millions for Panovich, what do you give? You know what the Panovich Rav answered him? Ich gib avek Yosha Kula. The Panovich Rav's nickname was Yosha. Instead of Yosef, it was Yosha. And the town that he came from was Kula. He says, I gave away myself. I could have known Kula Torah Kula, but I give it away to Shtel Avek, a dirt of Bnei Torah. I give away my life, I give away my Talmud Torah connected Kula. Not everybody could do such a thing. You know Rav Gusman? Rav Gusman is, he's today the Poisek Adur, there's nothing to talk about. Rav Gusman locks himself in the basement, he's not interested in any politics, no Agude, no this, no Lozman Tals. So yes, Rav Gusman, how come Rav Aaron Kotler ran the whole world, and Yitzhak is such a goin? Why don't you do this Elvis out? So Rav Aaron Kotler is bigger than me. He gave away his title for Klai, so I can't do that. He doesn't have anything to do with politics. You'll never see his name signed any place. He's not interested, Lozman Tzerua, Zolganza Welt, Starben, he couldn't care less, as it's by Zangamoda. But there's certain gedolim that hold names will give it away to make a different yid happy. I'm just going to tell you a few little mices of Rav Moshe to see what it means a yid give away from his time. Do you know Rav Moshe, the Godla Dur, I remember the early years of Tereis Yerushalayim, on Friday when he used to give the koil checks, Rav Moshe wasn't a man, a younger man from work study to give out the koil checks. Rav Moshe himself went and gave the work study checks. Why did Rav Moshe do it? Not the work study, I mean the koil checks. Why did he do it? Rav Moshe wanted to make every younger man feel good. So instead of Rav Moshe getting somebody else to do it, Rav Moshe has a gelegenheit to go to the younger man. Oh, here's a check. And the person says, thank you, Rosh Hashiva. Then he has a shaykhiz, and he has his kashus with him, and he makes the person steig more. Rav Moshe gave away his time. You don't know what it means. The God like dirt to go give out a koil check. Like, a chutz from the bezoin, for chashad the tzai, give it to a different younger man to do. Give six checks to dirt into a younger man, and let him go do it and fight it. What do you have to do? Name. He gives away his time to make a different year feel good. You know somebody in Lakewood, his name is Jack Mueller, do you know? You know Jack Mueller, one of your Moedig and Meisa? Jack Mueller, I remember the Davis Chasna, he got married in the afternoon. No, it was in the afternoon Chasna. Until the ganze Trask and the ganze Tumul, the whole Chasna was, let's say it was over, let's say about, let's say it was in the afternoon Chasna, let's say, I don't remember, I wasn't by the Chasna. But I remember the time when he got married. I think let's say he finished about 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, finished the Chosna Kala, everybody's leaving, the Chosna Kala go to the hotel, everybody goes home, to Shalom Yisrael. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you're not allowed to live with your wife if you don't have a ksuba. The halacha is also Adam Lodir and Misha below ksuba. If your wife doesn't know where the ksuba is, you're not allowed to live with her. No, a kitzim such a tumul by the chasna, usually the kala puts the ksuba together with all her zachen, and then they go weiter. But meanwhile, she lost it. A kitzim, anyway, here's the, you know, the right after the chasna, they didn't, what's tumul though? It's already 7 o'clock, they lost the ksuba. What do you do now? A kitzim, anyway, they go back, from the hotel, they go back to the hall. Kids said, he starts searching, nobody can find it. So they start making telephone calls. He calls his parents, she calls her parents. Does anybody know what Ksub is? What's Ksub is? What's Tukman? Kids, he calls up Rav Moshe. What's the time? She's ready, 9:30 at night. He calls up Rav Moshe, says, Rosh Hashiva. I truly for Shana Hashiva, but I just got married a few hours ago. I lost my Ksub, what should I do? So Rav Moshe says, where are you? She says, I'm in Manhattan. He says, come down right now to my house. Kids, as soon as he comes to Rav Moshe's house, half of a fella. Then Rav Moshe greets him, the chosen and the kallah, she's still in the gown. Hey, they come to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, "Zetz a chazek," and right away his rebbe said, "They bring out a plate. They bring out a plate of cookies and cake, and he puts on wine." Rabbi Rivlin was there. So Rav Moshe says, "Yes, but machin the chasna." Rav Moshe takes out a pen, and he writes out with a pen and a paper. He writes out the whole ksuba. He didn't have to look it up. You know, Rav Moshe knows. He wrote out the ksuba with a pen, and he writes the whole ksuba. Imagine what a halakhic ksuba this is. He writes out the whole ksuba, the lashon of ksuba. Rav Moshe says, "I'm going to be the edis, and Rabbi Rivlin's going to be the edis. You ready? You don't need shevet brachos. You ready? You had the brachos. Just you have to give the ksuba. Give an achamal the ksuba." And then Rav Moshe, he made a lachaim. Each one had a mezainis. And then Rav Moshe took the chosin, and Rabbi Rivlin, they make a and Rabbi Tzafainshi, she was standing with the kala, and they made a tensil. They made a clean of tans. The halakhic tzaddik, Rav Moshe hobbling a little bit around up, make Jack Mueller feel good, and then he got married. The hesta dov nifla, the godla dirty Rav Moshe Feinstein. Was it a guitar for Halba Shah? He married off a guy. I think he married. Aksuba with Aloshim, with everything, he took care of everything to make it feel good. What's made us? The graces of Moshe Feinstein that he gave away his time and to make somebody happy. It's a Dovinifl, this Maisa. A different Maisa. There's somebody in Lakewood, his name is Simcha Bunim Cohen. Simcha Bunim Cohen lives across the street from Moshe. He's a younger man, chicken now in Lakewood. He's the anacle of the Matisdorf Rov. The one that showed me the pictures, he has it there in the pictures. You see, you have a picture of the Matis Dovidov talking together with Hapshneya. That's his anecdote, Simcha Bunim Cohen. Hapaponim, so he used to be very close with Rav Moshe. So one day was Erev Yontif, listen to this, Adov Nivka. Erev Yontif, he was going to the mikveh. So who does he see? Rav Moshe Feinstein come, getting ready, he's putting on his kapote, and he's about to go out. See, since he lives across the street from Rav Moshe, they know each other. So Rav Moshe says, oh, but Erev Yontif, and he gives him a bracha. A kid says, Simcha Bunim doesn't know. Okay, so he sees a Moshe leaving, he's going in. Kutzi goes in, he takes a shower, he covers Yontif, he tovers himself, Kedushas Yontif, he gets dressed, he comes out, he sees a Moshe's there. So he says, is everything okay with the Shiva? Why is the Shiva in Yiddish? Is everything okay? What's the Shiva doing here? She says, no, I was waiting for you so we could both go home together. Rav Moshe Feinstein. You give me, what? Rav Moshe, he doesn't have what to do with his time. Well, he's waiting like for a hitch back to Adelphia. What's he doing? Every minute counts for him. Steht Rav Moshe Feinstein in the mikveh, in the outside of the mikveh, with his coat on, waiting for Simcha Bunim on Satan Zayne Hazen. Today they should be able to come back with him. Why? To make him feel good, because they should walk 6 blocks together. You know what a maisa that is? I'm boring Chachamah that Moshe Feinstein in his cup was thinking in Talmud Torah. Moshe doesn't waste a second. But the pula of just giving away your time and just waiting for a different year to make him feel good, doesn't that show character? By yours, you know, many times I tell my kid, hurry up, Chavishka inside, Chavishka. Wait a second, make your kid feel good. You make a yid feel good. It's a different, it's a gemalik maisa. Moshe gives away his time just to make a different yid feel good. Somebody told me there was a minion. Was the minion the next day of Yontif of Pesach, and a zokim came inside, an elder mensch came inside. So the minion, where Rav Moshe had him in, so Rav Moshe went over, he hobbled over to the person, he told the person, I got Yontif, wie is gegangen the Seder, wie is gegangen the Abakosis, what do you do about the matzahs? Like Rav Moshe, it looked like an elder yid, he didn't have what to do with his time, so he goes over to a different elder yid, and he said, what do you do with the matzahs? And how do you, because you know, with the yamotitzel, how do you handle it? Did you soak it? Didn't you soak it? Gets it, ogged it with the mensch, some food, some minute, and the person was telling him how he did it, and he was so happy. Rav Moshe, what did Rav Moshe do? Many times when you come into a shul, don't forget this, you'll be makayim so many mitzvahs. Listen to this. When you come into a shul, you know, you're young blood, you know, you're running around, you know, you're controlling the whole world, you know. Meanwhile, a lot of old people never have to go. They sit down, the family's not with them, the ain't it alein. Some people don't have any family, some kids never went off the derech. The lonely people, they come to shul, they sit down in the corner with a tillum, they just wait for about filler, they sing along, they have no life. Shalom before you go over to such an old man. Say, how you doing, Abyanko? What's master? How'd it go? How's the business working? Whatever it is, just to make it, even if it's Dvar Mitalim. But you're making a yid feel good. You know how much Ganeden you get for that? Old people, they're never so lonely. There's certain people that go every Friday afternoon from Lakewood, and they go to the old age home. You know what it means? You give an old person chias? You make an old lady feel good. There's an old lady that doesn't live too far from me. Every time I see her, I make my business to go over to her. I ask her, how you doing? And for her, she's never gonna come. And I try to talk to her. And how's this? And she asks me how my kids are. And I blabber away like I have nothing else to do. But it's a mitzvah, mamash. It's like a malik mitzvah. You make an elderly man feel good. Is that Moshe fine? She's all like the Staten Island boys are coming with him for the minion. Once kumt an elder mensch, and the man has no shachas, he just went there for the minion. So the man feels out of place. So what does a Moshe fine in the Gol Hador teach us? That you get out of your seat and you go, you make that old man feel good. You make him feel good. It's an under the veld. Remember that you're going home bein hazmanim, you go to a shul, you see an old person, break yourself, become a tzaddik. There's nothing wrong. You want everybody to feel that you're a Talmid Chacham, let everybody feel that you're a tzaddik also. You see an older person, make him feel good. Ask him how you doing, how your children. And then you talk from Dvarim, I get some in our life, you'll make a yid feel good. The Moshe taught us that too. You give away from your time to make a yid feel good. Somebody told me, this is a hafle of a fella, I'm telling you, the guy himself told me this mice. A guy went to ask Rav Moshe Shaila. The Shaila was such a stupidity that I'll give you a dogma of what the Shaila was. It was, Rebbe, are you allowed to drive a car on Shabbos? It was like such a sugar Shaila. The guy was an Amoritz, he didn't know Takir Adin. So he asked Moshe, Shaila learned about the 3 weeks, was such an Amoritz. Moshe says, he asked him such a good Shaila, he asked him, could you fast, could you get a Shulchan Aruch or a Chaim Chayla Gimel? So the guy says, wow, such a Shaila, Moshe has to look it up. The guy fast, he ran, he didn't even know what was going on. It's a Moshe finds it. He gets up and he greets him. He brings down the shulchan. He opens it up. The big shulchan aruch. And Moshe moves over it by his seat. He tells him, "Sit down. Let's learn it together." And Moshe finds it goes through the mechaber and he goes through the ramot. Then he goes through the magen avrom. Then he goes through the machzah shekel. And he's mafalpa with him and learning his teacher. This kind of guy, he can't even concentrate. His mind is like, you know, he's chalishing. Then afterwards, when he realized what he asked Rav Moshe, and he saw like you know, it's like Rebbe, you're allowed to put on a fire on Shabbos. Like he realized what happened. He saw the tzidkus in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe didn't yell at him. Rav Moshe didn't make him feel bad. And what did Rav Moshe do? Rav Moshe went and he took out a shulchan aruch. He got and he learned with him. Just gave him time. Make him feel like it was a real amkis to kishayla. So go gavaldik. He's not a moyer that could sit this for Rav Moshe. But yes, somebody asks you an Irish guy, hey, you idiot, you damn sugar. You know, curse the guy out and goodbye. But look what Rav Moshe does. He takes out a shulchan aruch. He blows it up like it's a moyer to kishayla. Teaches us something. Hey, let me tell you a difference there. Now Moshe, after he used to say Yeshir, he used to go, and he himself used to return to Sfarim. Let me ask you, Rav Moshe returns to Sfarim, he returns for himself, he has his own shafa by his side, if you remember, but he had his own little shankala, he had his own Sfarim. He returned it for the Bachram and the younger like the Yeshiva. Now Moshe took away from his time, by yours, you have to be Mamana, you have to, yeah, Rabbi Trek has to yell, this Bachram, how come you didn't bring back the Sfarim, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Godla Ador, he prepared the Oilam with the chairs, he prepared the Oilam. The Chofetz Chaim did the Zelbazach. He prepared the oilam with the cheers. And somebody told me, I heard it from Rav Alpert said it. He remembers that Moshe had to shut the lights. He'd climb on a chair under the table to pull the string to shut the lights. I let somebody else do it. What are you bizarre? Not named. Moshe himself will do it. He'll give away his time so somebody else doesn't have to be matrich himself. Moshe himself will do it. It teaches us a lot. A lot of times, you know, we're busy ben azmanim. We're busy going here. We're busy running here. Great adventure. And Allah hey, get pleasure. Look over yontif. And then we have no time out. Take out your time to make a different year to feel good. If you're going someplace, I hope it's a kosher place. You should only go to a kosher place. But you go, take somebody with you. Make somebody else. Give away from your time. Go pick up your chav. If you're driving a car and your chav is out in 6 blocks down, don't tell him you should go. You'll be by my house 10:15. We're leaving together. No, you go down and pick him up. Take away from your time. Make a year to feel good. You know what it means. You become, I told you this 1,000 times. There's two types of people. There's a giver and a taker. And if you think about yourself, you'll know what are you. Are you a giving person or are you a taking person? And my father told me one of the children in my house, one of them was a taker. She always wanted to take. So what my father trained her, that she's the one that serves by the table. She's the one that gives out this. And then she became such a giver, she's better than the whole house. If you train yourself, I'm the giver. Give away from zich, your time, your money, everything. Give away from everything you have. You're tired to share it. If you become a giver, you become a gavalik giver. That was one of the biggest milestones in Moshe. I want to tell you something else. I guess Rav Tuvia Goldstein and Rav Michal Feinstein. Rav Tuvia Goldstein is the biggest Talmud from Rav Moshe. And I guess Rav Michal Feinstein, the Mashgiach from Rav Moshe Yeshiva, I called him yesterday. And I asked him, what could you tell me that I could say over in the Yeshiva Sadofi in your name, what the Bochum should hear, how Rav Moshe holds, you have to learn. So each one told me something, and I'm telling you over in their name. Rav Tuvia Goldstein told me like this. Rav Moshe held two very important things that Bochum have to know. That when you learn Gemara, don't look in all the Achrayim. Don't look in the Achrayim. Just learn the Gemara with the Rishayim. In other words, like this. Now, for high school, it's a little bit difficult because you have to get used to how to make a laning. But remember this. Anybody's here from the base medical, from the older Bochum that can learn on their own already. When you learn Gemara, don't look over here and don't look at 5,000 Svarim. Don't look at any Svarim. Just learn the Gemara and the Tosfos. Once you understand it, go right. And Moshe also said, any Masechta that you start, you have to finish. You have to finish it and you have to chazer. That was one basic thing that Moshe holds. But fact for high school boys, you have to have a Seder Taka learning your Shir of your Rebbe and your chazer. But then you have to have a Seder of Gemara Rashi, or if you're capable, you go Gemara Rashi Tosfos. You must finish the Masechta. Which Masechta did they learn this month? Or it's a Shtikul Eisek. But those that are capable, then finish the whole period. But you have to complete. You can't leave things in the middle, because then it doesn't mean, then it's not serious. It's like, you know, you're learning a course of geometry, you only do the first few chapters, even the Hosnish, the Gans Zach. When you're taking a Cheskes Abatim course, you have to know the Gans Cheskes Abatim. So finish that period, which is Gemara and Ashbam. And then you'll know, I told you last time, from Avyankov, how you're supposed to Chaza. I sure hope some of you started that, because you'll be more Yudik Matzlich. That's what Abtuvi Goldstein told me. Then he told me one more thing. I asked him, how much does Moshe Feinstein hold that a bocher should sleep? So he said, a bocher in his 10 years has to sleep between 7 and 8 hours. So I always tell you, don't go to sleep, stay up the whole night, and this and that. But what could I tell you? That Moshe Feinstein, the good Lord of Paskin, you have to sleep between 7 and 8 hours. So that's two very important things I'm telling you from Rav Tuvia Goldstein. Now I'll tell you something that Rav Michal Feinstein, Rav Michal Berenbaum, the Mashkiach, the one that used to daven right next to Rav Moshe, what he told me, which I'm saying over in his name, what he told me for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe held that every single person, I'm telling you over the things that I wrote down, he says that every person, the Masechta that he starts, he has to finish. Same thing like Rav Tuvia said. Any Masechta you start, if you learn Ben Azmanim, if you have Seichel, you take a small Masechta Makis, or if you take an easy Masechta like Megillah, those already learned it already by Rabbi Goldman, you already learned Megillah a few years ago, Chazer Ovitz, a small Masechta, take a Chavrusa, any Masechta you start, you have to finish. Every Bocha must have a Seid in Or HaChaim. If you're capable, if you have the time, go through the Morgan Avram, with the Matzah Shekel, with the Taz, with the Noisa Kalim, with the Tur Beis Yosef, which of course is not Negei at this year, at these years. What you have to do is you have to learn Mishnah Berurah. You have to learn Mishnah Berurah every day. The stipler also held you. Every bocha has to learn every day Hifal Mishnah Berurah. You have to know what to do. You have to Hilchos Shabbos is difficult, but there's easy ones. Hilchos Tefillah is easy. Hilchos Tefillah to a certain, some parts are very easy. I heard Rav Shimon Ayer wrote a beautiful Sefer on Tefillin, read it in English, but you have to have a Seder in anything to do with Or HaChaim. You have to know Or HaChaim. That teaches you the way of life. That tells you what to do, what not to do. Hilchos Mayim Achrayim is easy. There's certain things that are very easy. You ask Rabbeim or all the people in the Beis Medrash, I'll tell you which Simonim are easy, but you have to have a Seder every day in Or HaChaim. How about Tanakh? Rav Moshe holds that you have to have a little Seder in Tanakh. A little Seder, 20 minutes a day. Ben Hasdorim, of course, is telling you that you should be a Masmid. That's really what he's saying. Not, of course, taking off time from Gemara. Gemara is your boss of the guy that you can give up. But in Ben Hasdorim, or at night, or during recess, or whatever free time that you have, you should have a little Seder of Tanakh. Moshe also held very strict from saying Tilim. There's certain people that are margled themselves saying every day the Yom of Tilim. If you do that, it's a Gemara Gazah. But that he didn't say that you have to do. But the Limit of Tanakh, you should learn the Nevi'im Rishonim, not the Nevi'im Achronim. It takes very long and it's very hard. You do the Nevi'im Rishonim. That's Yeshua, Shoiftim, Shmuel, and Malachim. Do that a few times, and you learn a little Tilim and Mishli, that's Maspik for these years. And then I asked him about Medrash. He said, nay, the Moshe didn't hold of learning Medrash. Medrash is for different people that understand Sisrei Torah and other Zachim, and Moshe holds you have to learn Gemara and Tosfos. That's the main limit. Then you have these extra Zach, like a little ketchup, a little salt, but the main thing is the Gemara and Tosfos. Those are the few things that they told me. They told me a lot of other things, which I didn't mark down, which wasn't the Gei Mamish at the moment. I want to tell you a few mices, a little mices, we still have a little bit of time, some more mices, a little mices of Rav Moshe to tell you the goddess of Rav Moshe. He was somebody that I know that never couldn't have any children. He couldn't have any children. Basically, it wasn't his problem, it was his wife's problem. She couldn't have any children. And he wanted to marry her. He was a guy, some mice, he wanted to marry her. So the shalom was, should he get married or not? So he went down to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, you want to marry her? I give you the shus to marry her. And this lady, this Kala, this girl, her father is a Rav. And her the Rav paskin that the girl's not allowed to get married. He's a Rav, he's not a fool, he's a Mamish a Rav. And not only that, he didn't let his daughter get married, he let the younger daughters already get married. And this person, somebody was mishalach them both together, because he went down to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe said like this, Hezachai, I know that your father-in-law doesn't want you to get married, tell your father-in-law to come down to me. So the person brought down the future father-in-law there, and that father-in-law was yelling. He says she can't have any children, and even if she does expect it, then she'll be such a sakana because she won't be able to fatrog it. She doesn't have the koyach to carry a kid, and he was crying to Rav Moshe, what are you doing to my daughter? Rav Moshe said, "Echzog b'tzuzel hom kinder. I tell you, they'll have children." No, so they stole the chasna. Shaul was one to make the chasna. So Rav Moshe says, "I want you to get married erev Rosh Hashanah. Ever in your life here, a chasna erev Rosh Hashanah." Rosh Hashanah is a time you tremble. Rav Moshe says, I want you to get married. I was by that chasna. I went down special to be by that chasna because I was a little bit involved there. Erev Rosh Hashanah, so the person, the chasna is, he asked Rav Moshe, why do you want Erev Rosh Hashanah? Because Rav Moshe said, because I want you to get an aliyah, Vashem pokad esorah. That haftoida, Hashem pokad esorah, kasher omor, I want you to have that haftoida in your sheva brachas. And that haftoida in your sheva brachas will two wives, so much kedusha, that you'll be, just like Sarah, she was not calling, she had a kid, Zabazach, your wife will have a kid. Good. Maske. So the person got married, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Rav Moshe was in Chasna, I saw the pictures, it was beautiful. No, came to Rosh Hashanah, the person bought the aliyah, they were selling the aliyah, and sure, the chosim bought the aliyah, shneimo, Hashem pocket that sorry, he got that aliyah. 1 year goes by, he doesn't have children. 2 years go by, 3 years, 4 years, and the wife was so sick in the middle. 5 years go by, he doesn't have children. One day he calls me up, it's a brochen, mamish and ganzen, it's a brochen. And he tells me, he says, listen, you know, I'm very stuck to brochen, I don't have any children, it's already 5 years, what can you do for me? So what do you want from my life? Go to the God, my daughter, Moshe. He was the one that told you to do the shidduch. Go to the Moshe and fight. She said, I can't go myself. Go with me. Good. It was Purim. That day was Purim. So I told him, it was Erev Purim. It was Tanis Esther. So I told him, listen, tomorrow morning I'll meet you by the Moshe. And I'll go. You just leave the talking to me. No, leave it to Biva. I'll take care of it. Leave it to Biva. Anyway, you leave it to Uncle Kamal. I'll take care of it. I'll speak to that Moshe. I know how to twist people's arms. Good, we went down to that Moshe. Kids, I come to that Moshe. I tell that Moshe. I start yelling, Rosh Hashiva, what's going on here? Purim is called a person, you're the nice and loyal. Anybody that sticks on his hand, you give him, no matter what. It says you don't look at anybody. I told Rosh Hashiva, you promised this person he's going to have children. I started yelling and commanding him and yelling like this. No, tomorrow was terrible. So Moshe heard and I told Rosh Hashiva, no bluch, I'm not aftocha. Zog him zu, azal habim kinder. Zog him zu. Kol ha-poishin yadinu, I was commanding and yelling. Anyway, so he took this guy's hand and he clipped both hands into that person. He told him, ich zog di zu, di yovis to geholfen werden. He tells him in English, he's saying, I promise you, I give you aftocha, that this year you're going to be helped. Well, what can I tell you? That year it was a bliss. The guy has 6 children now. I know somebody, one of my chavruses, his shver was very, very sick. He had, I don't want to say it in my mouth, he had cancer. The doctor said it was, it was in the foot, it was spreading, it was bitter. The person was a very big Talmud Chacham, so he had pulled, they told Moshe, the person's a bracha, you know how you do this. The person's a bracha, needs a bracha, the Rosh Hashiva has to come down special to visit him, otherwise, yeah, Moshe's a tzaddik, no, adafon, no, it's a vada vada lala papa, vada vada, no, bika choydum. Moshe went down to the hospital, my chavrusa was there, he saw it. Moshe visited the Rav, and he told him he was crying, he told him the bed suited from the doctor. The doctor said it's all over the foot, and it's spreading up and up, and it's going into the whole system of the goof, it's mamish bitter. So Rav Moshe went, Hafel fell, he told me he saw this. He put his hands under the foot and he picked up the guy's foot. You know, like one hand like under the thigh and one hand under the foot, you know, like the end of the foot. And Amosha the Tzadik picked up the foot and he held it. He said, Ich zog di zu, das tomara fu shleima. And he put the foot down. The guy's living, Baruch Hashem. Everything stopped. This shrunk, this chemotherapy with radiation. Everything is out. The guy's living. And then he even had it in Zolev Shopping. He had a tumor in his head. And Amosha benched him. That's it. Shalom Yisrael. Let me ask you something, when it's a bruch in the hearts, what if Chas v'Shalom somebody's sick today? Is there any place where you can go? Isn't it something to worry about? Isn't it something to feel bad about? Just for that alone, people have... people have problems with business. It's half of a fella. I know somebody... I know somebody had a dintoyer, the goyish dintoyer against him. The lawyer said that they were suing him for millions. There was no way out. And he went to Rav Moshe. He was crying to Rav Moshe. I know the person. You know him also. Some of you know him anyway. I can't say his name. And he went to, he was crying to Rav Moshe. Rosh Hashiva, bench me. So Moshe said, tell me over all your tainus. So he said over all the tainus. Then Moshe says, tell me over all his tainus. And Moshe thought for a minute, he says, the judge is going to say it's nothing. That's all. So he said, yeah, but it's it. He said, the judge is going to say it's nothing. Almost like a Rebbe Shammai. I said, what do you think happened? The person that was a whole Izzik in the Torah over there was in court, the very high court, and the judge says, it's nothing, the tainus of the other person is nothing. He had a bruch, he was neutral from everything, there's no chance. The guy had a Chinaman's chance to get out of his mess. And Moshe them get benched. He's got, Vem in Hopmanheim. Who could you go to for Sanz Azar? Or Hobbinish? It's not much bitter. So, Moshe de Kalos, you don't realize, Achutz from the Kedushin, the Tide, and the Godless from Moshe, but we lost an address where you can run to and cry. And so you cry, you press buttons on everything, it'll be good. Yetobim Dosnish. We don't have that anymore. It's a terrible loss. Your boys are young, so you're not yet out in the world, so you don't realize it. But a lot of times, you know, things go on, you know, you need help. So where could you go? There's come out no address. It's not much terrible. There's no address. Let me tell you different things. It's late, I'm soon going to be Messiah. My brother once went into Rav Moshe. It's time to tell you the Kedusha for Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein once, my brother went into him, and he sees Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was holding like a little thing in his hand, like it looked like a pocket radio. And Rav Moshe himself answered the door, like it looked like he was holding a radio. It was very funny. So my brother asked Rosh Hashiva, how's Rosh Hashiva feeling? So he says, the Yebzhu should be moichel me. So my brother almost flipped it. You know, what did he do? What did he do? Chasam chasam, what did he do? The Yebzhu should be moichel me. And what's this thing in his hand? Like, what's this all about? Could say, he realized, yeah, my brother's very close to Ramosha. Could say, Ramosha told him to sit down. He does it like this. When he was younger, he had a chavrusa. But Ramosha said, the Yebzhu gave him a lizik a cup, a very fast head. So a lot of times, while he was learning with his chavrusa, he would chop the gemara, the toises, the shakla, the tayyid, the toises, and he would chop in a second. But his chavrusa, it took him long. So a lot of times, his chavrusa said akasha, and you know, Rav Moshe said, I left, shtus. So I was mischabed b'kolayin chaveray. I was mal b'kolayin chaveray b'rabim. So who knows? So the Yebishta waited 60 years I should do tshuva. And I didn't do tshuva, Rav Moshe tells him. And because of that, says Rav Moshe, the Yebishta made it, I have to have a pacemaker. And the Abish took away my heart. So he took away, my heart can't work. I need a pacemaker. It's like crisis. Why did the Abish do that to me? Because I didn't do tshuva for my Aveda. So he's holding this thing. This is like a monitor to do, you know, tell him what's doing inside with the batteries and how to go to Zachar. So he had to make sure everything was okay. So Moshe had to hold it to check out. Look at that, a man that tzaddik, who knows how dakus thick the Aveda was. And who even knows if how what level it happened. But Moshe finds he was walking around. What did he say? The Abish says, Omer forgive. Why you hurt somebody's feelings? And he said, if you... Is ein chelik olam haba melt nechaveri b'rabim chayv, who knows what? You hear what a tzaddik that person was? I had a friend of mine that he had a chava that went to Rav Moshe, and his wife couldn't have children, had a lizik problem, and they needed a heter for a certain thing. I don't want to go into it. Your boys are bochum. He needed a certain heter. Rav Moshe said, I can't give you a heter. So the person was standing together with his wife. They were young people. They just got married, whatever it is, about a year or two, and they were both standing in front of Rav Moshe. They were crying. Rav Moshe said, I can't give you a heter for our family. It looks like they won't be able to have any children. And they were crying. So Moshe says, I can't give you a heter, but one thing I can yet give you, tefillah, I'll be mispiled for you. A year later, they got a kid. Here's a different lady that went to Rav Moshe. This lady herself went down to Rav Moshe, and she was crying, Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva, I don't have any children. So the Rosh Hashiva, this is, she went, she spoke in English. So the Rosh Hashiva said, which month is it now? He told her which month, so he made a cheshbon. Nisan, Yir, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, El, Tisha, Cheshvan, Kislev. Anyway, it came out and the month that she came was 9 months before the month of Chanukah. You see, he made the cheshbon, count on his fingers, 9 months from now. It says, comes a Chanukah. The Chanukah with the Hobna kid. Chanukah, she had a kid. Hey, and Moshe was no Rebbe. And Moshe, his Kedush and his title was so great. His Koyach HaTfilah was so gewaldig. You know, you don't even know. And you boys, I'm telling you, I hope you don't mind those boys. I told you to get a bracha for Moshe. I told you, twist Rav David's arm. Do whatever you can to get a bracha. You don't know that Moshe will bench you. You should be matzliach and learning. And many times you'll be, who knows, you'll be in the 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and it's not going so good. You might want to go to college, Chas HaShom, or you might want to go into the business, Chas HaShom, and you don't want to develop your Talmud Torah connected Kulam. But if you would have gotten a bracha for Moshe, that bracha would have pushed you, would have given you the shtuk to change your life, would have changed you for the rest of your life. I'm telling you again, boys, Rav Siegel's here. He's in America. Get down there, twist Rav David's arm, tell him whatever it is. Make sure you go down to Rav Siegel and get a bracha. You know, when we were on the way to Rav Siegel, when I was in the car to bring Rav Siegel to Lakewood, I stopped the car. I wasn't driving. Somebody else drove the car. I told the driver, stop first by telephone booth on the way. We shouldn't lose too much time. And I called up my wife, I told her, it was close to Tenebeti. I told her, Fias, get call up by Rav David, by Adelphia, and tell him that he should bring the whole, I forgot to tell Rav David that Rav Siegel is coming to Lakewood. I told Fias, get the whole Adelphia Yeshiva to come down to Lakewood. And meanwhile, I'll get it ready, I'll get the boys and leave it to me. I'll get them into get a bracha for the Rav Shiva. So then later, she told me that she called. I hear only the base medish went. What happened? Why did only the base medish go? I felt terrible. My way in now tonight, the one that drove me, I used the bracha. Who came? Rav Siegel Shmuz. He said, only the base medish. Why only the base medish? Every bracha needs a bracha from Rav Siegel. Now I'm telling you, Rav Siegel's in Borough Park, and he's there for just another few days. Once you try to get him in England, it's against ASIC. But here he is, Mamish, not too far from you. If you in Borough Park, or at least make invest money in a telephone call, call up Eliyahu Rosenblum, he'll give you the number, he'll tell you exactly the call, and get a bracha. Get the gamba to give you at least your name to Rav Siegel. He should bench you. You don't know what it means to get a bracha from a tzaddik. Let me just tell you a little bit more. Rav Moshe used to stand Gans Pesukah de Zimra. He never sat. It's one sheet in Shochner Chosa. Pesukah de Zimra, you don't want money, they could cover it, you stand, you don't sit down. Rav Moshe had that many. Him, the Skol Yerebbe, the few tzaddikim that they stood in Gans Pesukah de Zimra. He don't want a money, they could cover it. Rav Moshe had a Kenyan and Tefillah, even though he wasn't what we call a Baal Musa. But Rav Moshe had a money, because his Kedusha and his Torah and his Tider, he had a money, they could Kenyan and Tefillah. Rav Moshe said in himself, in his life, he never had a Narsha Machshav and Tefillah. Anytime he ever had a daven, he had totally machshava of Shvisa Hashem and Nagi Soma. He had such control. Isn't that Shol Gvaldike is Shaychas the Tefillah? That's why when Ramosh gives a bracha or he says a haftocha came out of his halakha mouth, so I've added the things should be in his kind. I told you once got a Gvaldike haftocha from Ramosh. Until finally I got half tough. And Baruch Hashem, one chelik was in Skyim, and the second one wasn't in Skyim yet. But I'm zichum borrowed that before I leave the veld, it has to be in Skyim. But it came out of Ramosh's veld, and Ramosh's mouth. If it comes out, a tzaddik goes, he's a fafama, because it's Baruch Mekayim. That's what the Gemara says. So I'll tell you, it's late, so I'll just tell you just a few little zachalach. The yesod of Rav Moshe's midah was anova. The yesod of Moshe, how come you're such an honor? So Moshe says, there's one thing you have to train yourself. If you train this, you'll become an onuv. You know what that is? No matter what, don't get angry. No matter what a person does, just don't get angry. Once you train yourself that, no matter what the person does, keep quiet, walk away, this, so forget about it. Once you train yourself not to get angry, you'll have the moedik and ma'is of anuv. You'll have the midah. There was a certain person that wrote a sefer against Rav Moshe. You boys don't know because you boys are much younger. It came out a few years ago, maybe about 10 years ago. Chutzpah Shein Kamoy, the person of Zichelos Zolam Haba, the person Stam Diab, she's going to give him Aliches Yom in this world, so he should get Schar in this world. He shouldn't have anything in Yenavel unless he has Rav Moshe from Mechila. But what the person wrote against Rav Moshe, he wrote a whole sefer against Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he wrote with much Moyedika Chutzpah. I'm telling you, I saw it, I couldn't believe it, how a person could have the audacity, the Chutzpah, and also talked away about a God Lador. How come upon him the person printed? The printer saw what was going on. So right before he printed it, he saw his easy face, he brought it down to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And yes, Rav Moshe, Rav Gedal Yeshua said over this mindset, yes, Rav Moshe, what should he do? Should he print it or not? Because the Bezoin HaTorah. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, print it, the person needs Panosa. And now, you have Panosa, give him, we'll have Panosa. So he was killing him away, and the guy writes it, it's half of a fell, and God, one of the Shilas Thurton, my father, Olav Shom, if you take a look in in the Chelik Aleph of Orachayim, the first tshuva, Igris Moshe, and Chelik, you look on page Reish Pei Hei, is a shaila from my father. My father is a Moshe Feinstein if you let a shave in Cholomoy. So Moshe says, yeah, you let a shave. He gives him a heter. He told me, you're a moil and you have to go to the hospitals. In those days, nobody had beards. And you know, now today rabbis have beards, but in those days, when you got out to the modern people, you didn't have beards. Today everybody had. So he told my father, yeah, you can shave. So that in that sefer, this sefer that came against Moshe, he made such chayzik Rav Moshe. What kind of this? What kind of chutzpah? That's not pshat. The Gemara and this and the night of Yehuda against Asik. So the Eibush are people what that person has. But I'm zichra Moshe zichra moichlam because he's a tzaddik. Mustam, he won't have any oynish. Benegayetram, altra Moshe won't have any oynish. So Moshe zichra moichlam everybody. Moshe is a moichlam tzaddik. He was moichlam. He never had any tannis to anybody. I'll just tell you this last word. It says in Chazal, Veshatznuum Chochma, the Poske Mishli. Somebody that's a tznua, he ends up getting Gevalika Chochma. If you're a tzni, you stick a person. And the reason is like this. If you would take a look, let's say if I'm holding my hand, where's the Chochma in it? The Chochma is inside. Where inside? I just see black letters and white around it. Like, where's the Chochma? The Chochma of something is hidden inside the Zach itself. It's not really open. You just see pages, you see black, you see blue here, a little white. Where's the Chochma of the Heilige Mishnah Berurah? But it's hidden in the words. I see the words, where's the Chochma? It's Behalten in the Zach. If someone is a Behalten a mensch, you're a private person, you're not a knack, you're not a instead of al gaivne. You're a private person, a simple, a humble person, then you're zoich v'chochma. That was our Moshe's Maila. He was a humble person. Why do you think a humble person? So the Eibishman's bench, and we should learn off some of the ma'isim from our Moshe. Chol HaParos, we should hear it. And we should remember every once in a while the pulis of the Helikat Tzadik Rav Moshe, the Tzadik Rav Yankov, the Helikat Tzadik of the Stipler. It's mamish b'shivra and levud, it's a brach in the hearts. We all really know that these three giants left this world, and we're here mamish all alone. There are a few tzaddikim left, but without these three tzaddikim, it's just a different world. It's altogether a different world. If we take be mizdavik ourselves to Rav Moshe and to the pulis of Rav Moshe and all the other gedolim and tzaddikim that left us in this tkufa, and we tie ourselves to these, the Eib Shal Zichah give us a gevaldika aliyah, then Neshama will have a gevaldika schus, and it'll be a schus for us. And I just want to tell you, Ben Nissen, we were once Nigal in Nissen. The Eib Shal should help us, and now we're starting, we should also be Nigal in Nissen. But one thing I want to tell you, I started out today by telling you about habits. I think it's kedai to be makabel yourself, makabel on yourself, bli neder, that every single day of Ben Azmanim, in the daytime you learn L'chol HaPochus 20 minutes, and at nighttime 10 minutes. It's a simple thing to do. Every bochur, no matter what grade you are, no matter what level you're holding, you could definitely learn 20 minutes at daytime and 10 minutes at night. If you do that, I'm telling you, you have a gevaldiges kashas and Torah. The Eib Shalom's bench, we should be zechah for the good of Shnei Mitzvah.